Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it is so good to be back with all of you. Connect with Toussaint Louis is raring to go this year. The coming months, we're going to have very interesting topics. I'm so glad that today we have Khalid Thompson with us. She's somebody who basically shares my philosophy of trying to bring the best of the Caribbean culture to the wider world. Obviously, we are known for our music and our athletes, but there's so much more to the region in which many of us lived our treasured years that I'm so glad we have somebody here who is willing to really forge ahead and be a trailblazer in what she does. Khalil is the executive producer and director of Taste the Islands with Chef Irie. It is the first Jamaican-produced show to air on PBS to a national audience. And as we all know, PBS has extremely high standards. Therefore, she has to be doing something right. And I hope today she's going to let us into her world and we just get a feel of what she does, how she does it, and why she's so successful. Khalid, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
How are you, Khalid?
I am very well, thank you. Very, very well.
Okay. Now, Khalid, you have many achievements. You've been honored by Legacy Magazine as one of the top 40 leaders under 40 in Broward County. You are a author, columnist, but I think you've really hit your groove now with this creation, executive producer and director of Taste the Islands. I've seen the episode. The episodes are very good. Tell us, Khalid, I mean, what is your background?
My background is actually architecture and then entertainment. So growing up, I went to school in Jamaica and, you know, following the track that our parents teach us where you go and try and get a stable job and what have you. I went to school and got a bachelor's degree in architecture. But at the same time, I had been around Sly and Robbie, so I was always in the music industry as a singer. They put me onto a Beanie Man album once upon a time, and from there I ended up touring several years with Beanie Man and Kevin Little and Kimani Marley. And so I had a strong entertainment background to an extent. And so I don't know if it was a natural progression to get into the video side of things, but it that's a long convoluted story.
So therefore, you've always had an affinity for the media, one in one form or another.
Correct.
Okay. Well, tell us now. I mean, you went from there. And now you're the executive producer of a show that seems to be doing all the right things. I guess before we go any further, what exactly does an executive producer do?
Well, traditionally, the executive producer is the person who finds the financing for film or television. So traditionally, my role might be exclusively just, you know, going out and finding investors or underwriters in this case, because it's public television, there's a different system of financing. It has to be very transparent and open. Everyone who has invested even a dollar in the film has to be credited. So, you know, thanks, of course, to our major underwriters, who are the Jamaica Tourist Board and Paychecks and Compliance Services, which is Pam Watson's company down here in South Florida. But those were the people who really helped us to get the show on air. Other than that, it was financed literally by myself and, you know, and the efforts of a small community of people. You know, as you know, when you're starting off in film and television, it's an industry that people think of as kind of precarious and uncertain, and so it may be difficult without a track record to get any kind of investment. At this point now, we're out again trying to raise funds for season two, which, you know, the station, PBS, American Public Television, who is our distributor, they distribute to many PBS stations. But, you know, everyone is loving the show so much that they've already asked us for the second season, which we need to deliver, you know, again by next April. And so if I were staying true to the executive producer hat, it really would be just a lot of knocking on doors and saying, hey, we need money to get this thing out. We can put you in front of the whole country at this point in time because, you know, later on next month we'll be in over 80% of American households, are available to over 80% of American households. So that was a long way of saying executive producer is the fundraiser in that particular role.
Well, one of the things I like about the show, and I did an earlier show with the owners of Autumn Eats, a very exclusive Jamaican restaurant here in Miami. And one of the things I always wanted to see was that we must hold our food as Jamaican cuisine. And I think this is where you really hit a home run, because you're exposing our Jamaican cuisine to the world.
I'm gonna say a little bit different there, because it's really not Jamaican cuisine that we focus on. Jamaica is our major underwriter, and of course, Chef is Jamaican. I'm Jamaican. Luki Chong, who is the associate producer, is Jamaican. So it's a Jamaican team behind the project. But we purposefully called it Taste the Islands because we want to make sure that Caribbean culture is represented. So we all come here to America, and you know, you live here, so you know the Jamaicans stay among the Jamaicans, the Trinis stay among the Trinis, the Bajans stay among the Bajans, and we don't always interact, but when we are together, we feel like family. I think Jamaicans are just naturally a little more, shall we say, effusive than some of the other islands, other than maybe Trinidad. Maybe we're in competition with Trinidad for who likes attention the most. But we as Jamaicans, we're very forthright and, you know, aggressive with our presence to a certain extent. And so I purposefully wanted to make sure that all island culture is represented. So Chef, as someone who is, you know, he's a world, a connoisseur of world cuisine, let us say. So he is familiar with and gravitates to cuisine from the various islands. And he was able to bring that into the format of the show. Even his, you know, he likes to travel around the world. So he's been to, I think, China and all over Europe. And, you know, he brings all of the flavors and elements of his world travels to this show where we wanted to focus on Caribbean cuisine. So you will see in here, you will see Trinidadian food. We had Atto Bolden as a guest star on the show. And in that episode, you will see where Chef goes into pilau and a ginger cocktail and bacon shark. You will have Kevin Little coming on the show later. He's from St. Vincent, and we didn't necessarily do Vincentian food, but we did represent Barbados in that episode, where Chef did a cuckoo, a version of their national dish in Barbados, which is cuckoo and flying fish. He also does Latin American cuisine, where you'll see, you know, ceviche and mussels chorizo, and then of course, you know, we have the Jamaican. He does jerk from scratch, and he does things with plantain dip, and you know, so we have a nice representation of many Caribbean cultures. And then you asked me just now as well, how do we come up with the concept for the show? That's a story I like to tell. It literally was me and Chef one day chatting outside on his patio, having a glass of wine and just shooting the breeze about, you know, I had recently watched the movie called The Secret, and started getting into this thing in my head where, you know, you have to see things, begin with the end in mind, see things and manifest them in your mind, and then they will be created in the outer world. And that sounds like hocus pocus to a lot of people, but I'm finding that it's very true. Like, I saw this, I saw all of this happening from the very beginning. When we started putting the show together, it was, for me, something that is going to appeal to a national audience. That doesn't mean it's going to be smoke and mirrors and big sets and whatever, but it did mean creating a show that when you look at it, you enjoy it, it's easy to understand, it appeals to a vast cross-section of people, not just Jamaicans. You know, at the beginning, a lot of the resistance I would get would be, we're doing a Caribbean cooking show. Oh, so you're broadcasting it in the Caribbean? It's for West Indian people to watch? No, it's for everyone to watch. You know, what Chris Blackwell did with Bob Marley was take a Jamaican guy with Jamaican culture, but who people could understand, and start selling our culture to the rest of the world. As we know, neither Bob nor Shaggy nor, you know, Sean Paul, none of these major acts, I don't think were popping as much as they did internationally when they started off in Jamaica. It kind of went international, and then we in Jamaica said, oh, yeah, this is our guy, we like him. And so this is, you know, it may be a flawed approach, maybe not, but this is the kind of approach that we're taking to this. Because even when we show it in Jamaica now, they're like, oh, it's not that exciting and whatever. But it's not about exciting. It's about authentic and heartwarming and family oriented and just mass appeal for us. And that's kind of how the thing came together in my mind, at least.
So let me ask you this. The actual task of pitching the idea to PBs, what involved with that? I mean, the phone calls, the meetings. I mean, how does one, you know, how did you go about achieving that?
Well, we were very lucky because I had been pitching the show all over the place. I'd reached out to various distributors and I had actually, there's three PBS stations in South Florida, and I had reached out to the other two without much success, funnily, and had kind of almost given up on the whole procedure because people, you know, mass market once again wants the competition shows and the things that you see on Food Network, or they want people who are already famous. With the PBS stations down here, I think they may have a little bit of a different orientation. You know, one of them is very educational. One of them speaks specifically to an older audience. And I had just given up at that point and never even tried to approach the third one. When Chef said to me, oh, I know somebody at PBS, I said, I tried them already. He said, did you try this particular one? You know, I said, no. Well, when he introduced me to the person, it was actually the CEO of the station. And so we were able to get an audience with someone who already knew of Chef and his personality. But at this point in time, we had, you know, it wasn't, we like Chef, so let's throw him on the television. You know, they had known Chef for many years before. But now at this point, we had a fully developed pilot, or, you know, close to finished pilot. We had the ear of somebody who already liked Chef. And so once we sent the pilot off, I'll tell you, it was a few weeks and I hadn't heard anything. And it was that follow-up email. I like to tell any entrepreneur at all, don't take a non-answer as we don't want to deal with you. Sometimes you get lost in the shuffle or lost in the fray. Do your follow-up call, because it was the follow-up email where, you know, the lady said to me, oh, yes, I did look at it and I liked it. I need to share it with my team. And once she did that, we had a meeting and it was constant. You know, I am diligent with follow-up. I'm diligent with making sure that if there's an opportunity that we need to take advantage of, that we follow up on it and make sure everything that needs to be delivered is delivered. And so we had that meeting initially with the lady at PBS and her team. And they loved the show. They already knew Chef. They loved him. They loved how we put it together and the movements in the camera and, you know, these stories that we integrated. There's another young lady in the show by the name of Nicole. She's getting married in 2 months, so congratulations to her. But she adds another element to the show where she was born in Jamaica, grew up in America, and so that even that element of someone who you can tell is island but is not all the way island, it makes it a little less intimidating to the viewership maybe, and you know, so there's all kinds of little elements that we put in there to make it, you know, very appealing to all and sundry. And then the food, you know, it's Caribbean food, so it's all colorful, it's all, it looks aromatic, it looks flavorful. Chef is big on presentation, so he likes to have color in his food. You know, we started off with a very basic kitchen, and then we got comments back about adding some color and you know, just more life to the set. And as we went along, we improved what we thought were the storylines and the look and feel of the thing. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to the food, what the food looks like. You know, people, we have celebrities on the show, we have prettiness, we have all kinds of stuff going on, but everybody who comments on something says that food looks delicious, I want to taste the food. So that's going to be, you know, the root of the success of everything. But, you know, all elements combine to make it right. And then you asked about dealing with a station like PBS or a company like American Public Television, which is our distributor. They're different from PBS, but they deal with PBS stations. And, you know, mm-hmm. they're very, very regimented. You spoke about the quality, both of their content and their delivery systems and everything. Every I had to be dotted, every T had to be crossed in order to deal with them. And so that level of attention to detail is something that we, I will, you know, publicly say and probably get cussed for this, but we don't like to pay that kind of attention to detail. We as Caribbean people. You know, a lot of the times we'll just throw stuff together and just accept it. You know, you should accept it because I've presented it. But the level of attention to detail, I think, went a long way in taking us from where we were to where we are and where we're going to be. We're going to do a lot more than what has happened already. I'm confident in that.
How many markets are you in presently? Like, obviously we know there's a heavy Caribbean population in the Northeast, maybe not so much on the West Coast, the South. How many markets are you in presently? Are there any markets you would specifically like to get in? Is that beyond your control? Once you've now handed it over to this distributor, are they the ones that go out and just find the markets, or do you have any say in it?
Well, the distributor finds the markets, if you want to call it that. What happens is that it's a multi-layered system, and me as the producer, you know, I have no control over where it ends up going. We just have to do a nice show and hope that people like it. Now, that being the case, our contacts at our local distributor, which is PB2, they're the presenting station, WPBT2, Channel 2, which is where we watch it here in South Florida. And, you know, we have to say thanks to Dolores and Max and Jeff and Francis and the whole team of people over there who have been kind of championing the cause for us. But, you know, Max is the community director, so I forget his title, but he is the one who really got on the phone and went out to various conferences. All the PBS stations around the country have these various conferences. And he will kind of pitch, oh, you know, we have this great show that's coming up with this great chef, and it looks great, and it's fun, and it's entertaining, and it's Caribbean food, and you guys have never had Caribbean food on the station before. And so before we even rolled out at all, we had 130 stations who said around the country who said that they wanted to carry the show. Some of these stations were not even in the Caribbean strongholds, because you'd expect that New York and Boston and Atlanta, those would have been the first places to jump on. That was not the case. You know, this is a new show. These are very well-established PBS stations, and I guess, you know, they would have been like, you know, let's see what happens first. But I'm very happy to say that LA, which I don't think was initially one of the first ones who said that they were going to come on board, they were actually the first station to start broadcasting the show. And they're the number two market in the country behind New York. Started off mm-hmm. the whole thing in the number two market in the country. And it's been rolling out on independently owned and operated PBS stations ever since then. So right now, I think we're up to 21. It's either between 15 and 21% market coverage, which is 21 television markets. And some of them are bigger, some of them are smaller. But all of what's represented is a little bit over 20% market coverage. That means, I think, around 50 million households. 50 million households right now have access to the show.
Okay.
By the end of June... Yeah, I want to say, by the end of June, we are going to be on a station called Create. So what is happening right now is that, as I said to you, we started in L.A., and then we went to Denver, and then we went to San Francisco, and then we started in Miami, and markets started rolling out as they picked up the show. Everybody's independently owned, so it shows at a different time here than it does there, than it does the other place. And that's how it's been rolling out so far.
Hold on, I have to cut you a second, Kelly, because we are so into you and you have so much to say that I just need to squeeze in a couple of phone calls because I want to get back to some other issues. But let me just squeeze in. Hello, this is a 200 number. Hello.
Good morning. Is that me?
Yes, you're on air. Yes, you're on
air. Good morning, guys. This is Garth, and I've been listening to you and Khalid discuss this, and I have to feel like I should be apologetic, because although I've seen notices in social media about the program and all of that, it has escaped me thus far. I haven't taken the time to seek after it and to see what it was about, but Khalid's presentation with you now has been very, very interesting, and I feel hungry, and I want to critique a soul of this. But congratulations to you and Luki and everyone involved in this effort, because it's my hat's off to you for what you've achieved thus far, and I admire your aspirations for going forward as well. I think it's very interesting that your focus is not only on Jamaican presentations, but on including other regional players. I think it would be an important thing too, and if you can explore this, the Caribbean is more than just the English-speaking Caribbean, and Puerto Rico and Haiti and the Dominican Republic and Cuba. And several of the French and Dutch territories, you know, have important cultural contributions in which we could see some alignments, you know, some similarities, and learn some of their differences as well.
Of course.
Right. So basically, what you're calling for is more diversity.
Well, I think it would be a really interesting path to follow to integrate some of these other cultures that are, the English-speaking Caribbean, although there'll be variants and variations through it, you know, it's pretty similar from one spot to another. But these are in Haiti, for instance, the Dominican Republic, those are the places that I mentioned, I think could be very, very interesting explorations as well.
All right.
I agree.
Thanks for the call. Do you have anything can you respond to that?
Yes, of course. Yes, thank you, Garth. In fact, we do include some Latin American cuisine in this season, as I mentioned. We have some dishes with chorizo and guava cream cheese tarts that he deconstructed to make a phyllo dough tart, which is Greek influence that he brought in with some of this Latin American influence as well. So it's something that we want to do going forward. Of course, budget was an issue, so we started off with what we could do, and that ended up being a lot of English and Latin American. But we definitely are looking now to get into Curacao and Haiti, hopefully, and some of the Spanish islands as well.
Great.
Okay, let me just take another quick call. This is a 561 area code. Hello.
Yeah, that's me, I guess.
Yeah, you're on here. How are you?
Pretty good, man. First of all, I'd like to congratulate Kalib on her accomplishment. This is something that is well needed in our community. Jamaican and Caribbean food is, it crosses all types of cultures, and I think there is a great need for the expansion of this type of food, in the world. Mm-hmm. And I see, moving forward, just like a pond, just like a pebble in a pond with a ripple effect, I see this going all over the world. I mean, Caribbean food is a special blend of different types of people, our heritage. I mean, it's far-reaching. So I think it's going to go a long way, And I think it's a very good thing.
Right.
Okay. Thanks, Paula. Let me ask you this, Khalid. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're garnering a lot of support. In your work life, how important is teamwork to you?
It is the backbone of everything. Because of again financial constraints in this project, you asked me at the beginning what the executive producer does. In the ideal world, the executive producer just focuses on raising money and raising the profile of the show. In reality, in this case, I ended up wearing many, many hats, including executive producer and producer, who is the person who should be out running around getting the set in order, hiring the staff, scheduling things, setting up the set and the props and the, editing and this and what have you. And I became the editor as well, and the graphic designer, and the website developer, and all of these things. And I, in an ideal world, these are all jobs that a number of other people should have. Now, as much as I was able to do all of that with my two hands, you have to have a team of people, because one person can't do everything. I can't cook and I can't be on camera doing all of this stuff at the same time. I can't, I don't have the experience that Luki would have in terms of making something ready for broadcast station. So even though, I would do the first pass on the editing, Luki would go through and refine things with his broadcast eye, make sure that levels were correct and processing was correct and, a lot of those red tape things, even in terms of reaching out to some of the sponsors that we had tried to show. Jamaica Tourist Board was someone, was a company that I had reached out to several times before, and they were responsive, but I think having Luki on board lended that level of credibility as well, because of all he had done from Island Stylie days and Oliver at Large and Lime Tree Lane and what have you. And so, between himself, Tyrone Robertson of Caribcast, whose facilities I used a lot of, the sets that we used were friends of either mine or Chef's, knowing Kevin from being on the road with him, knowing Atto from when we were doing the Caribbean Diaspora Weekly. We had another broadcast that we were doing here in South Florida that still runs all over the Caribbean on Carib Vision and One Caribbean. Atto had been a guest on that show, and because he liked the quality of what we did initially, when I called him and said, Atto, will you come and be a guest star for us on this show, he didn't even blink. He just said, yes, tell me the date and the time. And so when we talk about team, it's not even just the people who work on the project with you on a day-to-day basis. It's all the people who have lent their time or their effort or their energy to make it happen. And I can truly say this was a community endeavor. Even for the people who came out to the watch party, when we did our watch party over in Davie the other day, we had over 600 people pass through a venue that's made for maybe, 200 seated guests. And that was just the community coming out to support our effort. And it touched us on the inside, but we couldn't have done it without the support of all of these people.
Well, let me say this, Khalid. This has been really fascinating. I definitely have run out of time, but I want you to come back and share your vision, because it ended too quick. Basically, your vision of bringing the best of Caribbean culture to the wider world, this is something that has really touched me personally. And I absolutely want to include you in another episode. I truly thank you for your time today. God
thank
bless.
You,
I just quickly.
Yeah, one final thing.
Happy birthday. Okay, quickly, go on.
Yes, very quickly. We're going to be on Create TV starting June 29th at 8:30 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. And that means to all of you listening, wherever you are in the country, wherever you have family, everyone can turn on their television, find their Create TV station. You can go to createtv.com, find your Create station wherever you are in the country, 8:30 a.m., 2:30 p.m., Mondays and Thursdays, on Create TV. And then if you want other information, it's tastetheislandstv.com. Not Taste of the Islands, no, but Taste the Islands.
And I should just add this. Is there some cultural heritage activity coming up soon?
We are not doing anything actively for Caribbean American Heritage Month, but I believe the placement of the show on that national platform in June was tied directly to the fact that it is Caribbean American Heritage Month. So we don't have any events going on for it, but that rollout is tied directly.
We absolutely just run out because I couldn't even touch upon your work as a columnist and an author. Things I probably shouldn't say. I mean, that's such an interesting
title. I'm sorry.
We definitely need you to come back. But listen, thanks for all of what you're doing. You're representing us extremely well. I know all the success in the future, and I know that you will come back on our show very soon.
Yeah, man, looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Toussaint.
No problem. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.